It's rising, the level of criticism. I think there's a concern out there among shareholders and others about the very high level of pay that executives are receiving, and especially in those cases where the executive has not delivered the kind of performance that one might expect given the level of pay. And so there's sort of two issues that come up. One is whether or not the person is actually being paid for performance, or whether they're being rewarded in some cases either for, you know, average performance or even failure in some cases. So that's one issue. The other issue is whether the sense of proportionality, if you will, has been lost, whether an executive's ability to make money has grown so much that, for example, it's much more than anyone could ever spend in a lifetime, and whether or not others in the organization are benefiting the way that the chief executive is. Obviously, these companies are very large and have a lot of people who work for them, and we believe that they should all, you know, benefit to the degree that they're contributing to the success of the firm.
Can you give us some of the most glaring examples of really high levels of pay being paid to chief executives?
One of the companies that has sort of made the headlines of late is ExxonMobil. And the chief executive officer of that firm, Lee Raymond, who just recently retired, received a pay package of over $400 million in his last year working, and will have, something like a $6 million pension for the rest of his life every year. Now, this is a company that has done very well, obviously, for its shareholders. But that amount of money raises a question about, just the pure level of compensation. How much does a person need to come in and do his best for shareholders, and whether or not that pay really reflects good performance or just, you know, the high price of oil at this particular time. So those are some questions about that have come up with that particular company.
You talked there about Exxon. Does that mean that the oil industry is currently one where we're seeing the highest level of executive pay because of the high price of oil, or are there other industries or companies that stand out in this field?
Certain fields obviously offer, you know, traditionally have offered high rates of pay. Obviously, the financial industry, you'll see extremely high pay, not just for chief executives, but some of other, you know, investment bankers and so forth get very, very well compensated. Media companies, you tend to see very high levels of pay at media companies in many cases, and often, even at times when when performance of those companies has lagged. And I would say pharmaceutical companies as well. You know, CEOs of those companies have done particularly well. So those are some of the industries. But it often depends on the company itself rather than the industry.
It is a fact, though, that the gap between executive pay and workers is continuing to grow. I gather that one survey showed that average chief executive pay increased by 27% last year, while another showed it increasing by nearly 16%, whichever of the two you take to be most correct. It's far more than the rate of inflation, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, it all depends on, you know, CEO pay isn't a simple process. It's not just like they get a paycheck at the end of the week like everybody else. Their pay can be calculated in various ways. One of the most striking things I think you'll find is when you compare the level of pay of a CEO to that of an average worker, going back to 1980, the ratio was something like 40 to 1. So the average CEO would be paid 40 times what the average worker was paid. Today, it's something more like, it changes again depending on the year and the way you calculate it, but it's up to about 400 to 1. And so the CEO is being paid, you know, as if he at the same level as 400 ordinary employees. And our view is that, you know, is that really justified? Is the CEO really worth 400 other people? That raises a lot of questions for people.
Well, certainly it would seem to raise some ethical questions. For instance, is it greed, do you think, that's fueling this primarily?
That's hard to say, really. I think I guess I go back to the competition. That is to say that CEOs really want to be perceived as top in their field, and how in our society we have measured that success in terms of money. And so by being the highest paid, there's some sense that you're the most successful. And I think that's a problem that exists not among CEOs, but among everybody else. And so, but what it does is, you know, because the CEO pay is so public, you have this competition where boards of directors, in order to, as I said, to show that the CEO is really, they have the best CEO, they feel they need to pay him more. There's another issue too, I think, that's come up lately, and I'm not sure if it's really true or not, but what people are saying is that it's sort of like, if you will, like a brass ring. you compensate your CEO at such a high level to motivate lower level employees to try to get to that point. You know, so they say, oh, if I get to be CEO, I can sort of cash in. And so that motivates them. And so that's kind of one of the justifications. And it's sort of an odd one. I mean, if you just paid people well enough to do their own jobs, that might be a motivating factor in and of itself. But that's another reason why you may see the level of CEO compensation growing.
Now, you mentioned that these high levels of executive pay are attracting a lot of criticism, particularly among shareholders. But is it also talking a point in society at large? I mean, does it foster resentments among lowly paid workers in society when they see these executives getting these salaries?
I think for the most part, at least in America, people don't resent those who are making a lot of money. I think they want to be among that group. And I think that's culturally always been the case in America, that people really are, you know, they strive for a better life, they strive to provide a better life for their children. But I think that they want there to be some proportionality to it. I think they want a sense that those people are earning that money, that they're actually performing. I think there's also a sense of again, proportion. That is, are people really getting something based on their contribution? And if a CEO is getting, you know, I think your statistics were something like 27% more a year, at a time when, for really over a generation, the average person's wage has stagnated, I think that comparison starts to become a problem for people, that they start to say, why is it that, you know, I'm not benefiting from my hard work, but this person is benefiting from my hard work. And so, you know, there's as long as people have the ability to get ahead, I don't think they resent people who make a lot of money because they want to join that group. But I think that the more it's seen as, you know, some people gaining all the benefit from our strong economy, I think that's where you start to see resentment, and I think that's what's starting to happen.
What do you think should be the guidelines companies should follow when setting executive pay levels? For instance, if a company has done well, do you think that more of the company's workers should be sharing in the success of that company and not attributing it solely to the chief executive?
Right. Yeah, we have to sort of get past this idea of the star CEO, the celebrity CEO, the idea that the CEO is the only person at the company who's generating value. Now, the thing is, the CEO job is a very difficult one. I don't want to minimize that. They are the ones who are taking the risks, who are making the difficult decisions, who are coming up with the strategy, and ultimately who are responsible. If the company is successful, you know, the CEO will be praised. If not, he'll lose his job. And so they have to have the incentive to make the risky kind of decisions that CEOs need to make. So we're not saying that CEOs shouldn't be well compensated, that they shouldn't, you know, that they shouldn't do very well for themselves and that their success shouldn't be rewarded. But at the same time, there needs to be some sort of proportionality. There needs to be some sense that there will be accountability to shareholders and other stakeholders, frankly.
So what kind of advice are you giving to your Catholic clients, you know, when it comes to the question of ethical investment?
A lot of people think about socially responsible investing as social screening. And so, like, they might think, okay, you're not going to invest in ExxonMobil or in Time Warner because you don't like their pay packages. That's not our approach. Our approach is really one of advocacy and engagement. What we do is that we go to companies and we say, you know, we are shareholders in the company. We have a right and responsibility to really engage you on the issues that are important to our participants. And so when we hear that people have concern about the levels of executive pay and about the disparity in levels of pay between ordinary workers and CEOs, then we go to the company and we say, this is a concern that our clients have and that we want to sit down and try to come to some sort of resolution with you. And so the advice essentially that we give is that this is really a strategy of engagement, of trying to talk to companies and find out, you know, what the concerns are, resolve those concerns, and then move forward. We ultimately think that this makes for a company that's a better investment as well as a more ethical investment.
And when it comes to the Catholic Church or other Christian denominations, are they speaking up quite a bit on this issue?
I think more and more we're starting to see it. The church, I mean, the church doesn't tend to get into, you know, if you're talking about the bishops and the leaders of the church, they wouldn't tend to get to the level of granularity that we are as shareholders. But they have spoke out against the inequalities that they're seeing in society. And John Paul II particularly and Pope Benedict right now, they're starting to speak out, or they were speaking out, about the excesses of capitalism. That is, that there's a support within the church for the market economy, but there's also a need for proportionality and a need to infuse it with a sense of justice. Both Holy Fathers, if you will, were really outspoken about the importance of balancing a market approach, which is really the most efficient and has really led to a lot of benefits for a lot of people, but also with a sense of justice to make sure that the excesses don't undermine the benefits that that capitalism can provide. So the church at that level, I think, has been very strong, but sort of they leave it to people like us to really get down into the nitty-gritty of dealing with particular pay packages and particular issues.